You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You're listening to BetQL Daily, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook, with Joe Ostrowski, Joe Giglio, and Aaron Hawksworth from BetQL.
4 seconds to go. They can win it with a touchdown. First victory of the year on the line. Goff's got it. Back, looks, throws, ends up.
Yes!
Caught! Touchdown, Detroit Lions! They did it! Amon-Ra St. Brown in the receiving end! Oh, they're rushing the field! They've done it! 3 zeros on the clock. This game is over. It's over. Jared Goff to Amon-Ra St. Brown. His first career touchdown. And how big is that? Oh, my goodness. Have a day, boys. Have a day.
Welcome on in. BetQL Daily, presented as always by FanDuel Sportsbook. Joe O, Joe G, Aaron Hawksworth with you here. On a Monday after a wild week 13 in the NFL, tonight we have a big one. The Patriots and the Bills, will get to that. We'll look forward to the college football playoff. We got to talk about yesterday. We heard the call there. The Lions win. They get their first win of the season. Down go the Vikings. Down go Vikings teasers in a day yesterday that the big favorites took care of business. The big favorites 5-0. If you were favored by 7.5 or more. If you were one of those bigger favorites, though, but not the biggest, sometimes those days are tough. Yesterday it was for Minnesota. We got a lot to get into. Joe O, Joe G, Aaron Hawksworth. Joe, I know you and Paul went 2-2 in the contest with one game to go tonight. And those Vikings, we just, anytime you want to trust Kirk Cousins, and even as someone who has liked Kirk Cousins.
Oh, he's flipping. Finally flipping.
No. You felt like that day was coming for Minnesota. You felt like that day was coming.
He's trash. I mean, you need a win. When people were talking up the Vikings, like, okay, now they can go on their playoff run. That's what's interesting. And we'll break down the NFC playoff picture, that these teams that started to get a little buzz behind them. We talked about the matchup a week ago between Minnesota and San Francisco, how impactful that was. Well, they both end up losing a week later when they're in the run for the playoff spot. And Washington just goes ahead and wins their fourth consecutive game. The Minnesota one was frustrating for teasers. Our guy, Paul Aspen, was all over calling it Arizona a free square. And it was just a matter of which ones you're going to hook into that Cardinals teaser. Minnesota is one of those ones that just had a funny feeling about. And there's some people that made deep runs in Survivor. Two of the nine had Minnesota in mind. So those were knocked out. I know in Circus Survivor, it went from 28 down to 23 only because of the Vikings. As you mentioned, all these big favorites we had, the Vikings were the only one to go down. And, I mean, just Dan Campbell, he can't manage late-in-game situations to save his life. And 118 left. We're getting near the middle of the field. Let's just spike it. Like, it worked out in the end for them, and I guess that's good. They were excited there. I don't know how excited they'll be if they lose the first pick and they lose their best chance of getting the best quarterback in the draft. But I guess it's good for them. This is one of those situations, again, with the Vikings. You look at the box score, like, how did they lose? I mean, they outgained them. The yards per play were nearly a full yard. Here's how they lost. Field goals in the red zone. Yep. And I can't believe Mike Zimmer is still employed as the head coach of that team. I called it before the year, and even the larger sample size of this season, as long as he's been there, just more proof that that dude needs to be launched immediately.
Well, that team, Aaron, they blew their chance yesterday to kind of pull ahead or at least give themselves a really good chance in the NFC playoff race. And now it's all – I mean, we'll talk about it. The NFC just feels like at the bottom and the top. Totally just a free-for-all for who's going to get those spots.
Yeah, I think that was the most frustrating part. The money line parlay with all the three favorites that I had, the Vikings was the only one that didn't hit. And they had a lot on the line. And I thought, you know what? They're going to get up for this game. It's the Lions. And as the more the season went on, I've been on the Lions quite a few times this season. I'm like, God damn it. The one time I'm on the other side, they finally get the win. It was so frustrating.
They keep covering. You were just going there too, Joji. 8-4 against the spread. At halftime, I did jump on the Vikings live, and I guess you could make the case that you're on the right side. I took them +235, and they're down 20-6, and Detroit ends up blowing the lead. And remember, they were down. They had that 2-touchdown halftime lead, and then they're trailing with that last drive. But again, Zimmer, that's his defense. Wow. It was 14-play drive from Jared Goff and a bunch of nobodies without DeAndre Swift. I mean, I thought that was much more about Minnesota than it was about Detroit. And in the end, maybe all these teams, whichever team ends up getting the 6-7 seed in the NFC, they all suck because this is a stronger conference. And you look to the top and those teams, I mean, there is a huge divide. It's not like tier one, tier two. It's like tier one, tier three, four between the 1 and 7 in the NFC.
Yeah, look, I mean, every team that's in this, like the Seahawks lost the Seahawks beat the Niners yesterday. Niners lost the Seahawks. I was on the Seahawks, but the way that game went was absolutely crazy. 49ers lose, Vikings lose, Eagles last week lost to the Giants, right? This is going to keep happening. None of these teams are going to win out. They're all very flawed football teams, so we're going to have weeks like this. Yesterday, if you're on the Vikings, it did cost you. In terms of some trends yesterday, dogs of under 7 go 5-2, and the favorites 8-5 this week, unders 8-5 this week. So a good week for favorites, good week for unders. And really, I think the biggest kind of just right at the end craziness that I know the Seahawks Niners had the craziness, but how about Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, and his decision late in the game against the Steelers? The Steelers, every time I think they're dead, they have a little bit of life still in this thing. They pulled that out yesterday. A big reason why the Ravens could not convert the 2-point conversion to win the game. They didn't want to go to overtime. Let's hear for why, because that was, and that'll be talked about a lot today. You know, the Ravens score the touchdown. They could tie the game with the extra point, go to overtime. Harbaugh didn't want to do it. Let's hear from Harbaugh and then Tomlin on the decision and how it all happened.
Obviously, when you get down, you're down by one. What went into the decision-making to go for two instead of just kick?
Try to win the game right there. We were pretty much out of corners, you know, at that point in time. So there's an opportunity to try to win the game right there.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
And how about for Tomlin, his response?
No, it did not. You know, they aggressively play analytics. And so, you know, from that standpoint, they're predictable.
So there's some things here to unpack. You know, those two will kind of go at it a little bit and have some fun there. First, let's dive into the decision that John Harbaugh made to go for two. I was not surprised he did. And I think when you hear his explanation, Joe, of he was out of corners, like he was leaking oil on defense. He didn't know what he had to put on the field on defense in the overtime. I understood why he did what he did. All things considered, I understand why John Harbaugh went for two there.
Yeah, there's a lot to it. First off, my reaction to the game is I'm mad at myself for not trusting myself. it's Steelers. Hard to go.
We said it. We said it all
it's
week.
It's hard to go to the window and say Pittsburgh right now. It really is. But the bottom line is, in this series, there are specific series where you can do this. And the players change, the coaches change. And actually, in this matchup, they really haven't over a long
period of time. The coaches don't change. Yeah.
Coaches don't change. And much of the players, I know the Ravens are down a lot of players. But, I mean, you're getting more than a field goal. And you're at home. You take the underdog. You just do it. And it came down to the very end. In this case, it came down to the two-point conversion. Harbaugh didn't say everything that he wanted to say. And it was fair for him to say, look, corners were down. They're down everything this season. And it's not just a corner. Like Marlon Humphrey, we're talking all pro level stuff. There's that. There's Lamar Jackson, who's been terrible for a month. And again, they couldn't hit the 20-point mark. So that's another argument, in addition to the corners being down. And the defense in general, I know the Steelers are putrid, but they were going up and down the field on them. Let's remember, before that fourth quarter, they couldn't do a damn thing, and they were doing whatever they wanted offensively in that final quarter, and these stupid rules that we have. You can take it to overtime, and you could say, oh, well, I think you got a 1% or 2% better chance of winning if you're the Ravens, and you take it to overtime. With these idiotic rules, there's no guarantee that they're going to see the football. And, by the way, if Andrews catches it, he's not stumbling over himself. He wins, and everybody's screaming Harbaugh's a genius. So because they didn't complete that pass, what you're going to see on TV is Harbaugh's an idiot all day today.
Aaron, what'd you think of it? It was a risky decision, right? They basically have overtime in their pocket. They gave it up to try to win the game right there.
I think it was kind of like a 50-50 decision. For me, having worked for the team, I'm in the area. I was hoping this was going to be a situation where they could, you know, beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Everything they've got going in the division, it was an important game. Like Joe said, Lamar's looked terrible for about a month now. Like, they really needed to turn things around. So I think my emotions were in it quite a bit. And so it was hard for me to just take that out of it. But when I took a step back, I think the decision came down to whether or not Harbaugh thought his team could win in overtime. And clearly he did not feel good about that. You know, at that point, the Ravens defense allowed the Steelers to score on three straight possessions in the fourth quarter. So he's thinking, like, we've got to do this. Like, I'm not feeling super confident. If we go to overtime, we can win this game. And I've got to think, as a player at this point of the season, you don't want to go to overtime either. Those dudes are tired. In addition, the Ravens were just so banged up in the secondary. Harbaugh pretty much said that, you know, they didn't have cornerback. So it was just, I don't know if it was really, I think at first watching the game, wanting the Ravens, excuse me, to win, knowing they've got Tucker, who's always pretty much legit, I was like, here Harbaugh goes with this gutsiness. And I was just getting pissed. But once I take a step back, I think, you know, it probably was the right decision, and it probably would have gone, it would have been a coin flip had they gone to overtime, and they could have lost the same way.
I mean,
so yeah. I want
to. Truly a coin flip. I mean, the yardage was almost identical. It was 326 to 321 for the game, and it ends up being a one-point score.
So I want to unpack what Tomlin said there, that the Ravens aggressively play analytics. And I think it was a little jab at the Ravens and a little jab at Harbaugh, just a fun little rivalry thing. But I was thinking about it as it happened. And then, you know, we're seeing this more and more. I mean, I think Brandon Staley goes to the nth degree, but most teams now, most, think alike, right? It's not like one team has some numbers other teams don't, right? There's win probability. There's a lot that factors. And maybe some teams value certain things differently, but most of these teams, it's like baseball, right? They all kind of are playing by the same playbook now. They get it. So when he said that they weren't surprised because they aggressively play analytics, I took that as like the value of the surprise in the aggressive coach. I think it's going away. If they're all aggressive, there is no surprise anymore. Like I imagine Mike Tomlin knew or had a good thought the whole drive, I bet they're going for two if they score. I don't think he was caught off guard. I don't think his team is caught off guard. And I think that's interesting now that, you know, we kind of look at the good coaches, the bad coaches, the dinosaur coaches versus the smart ones. But I'm not sure if the smart ones have the same advantage or the progressive ones, the teams that they used to 5 years ago. If everyone's doing it, it's not that big of a deal anymore.
And even Lamar was saying, I didn't want to go to overtime after the game. Like, I don't think he was surprised. I think he thought that was the right decision as well.
Right. I will say, he did call timeout, and they did leave the tight end wide open. So if they were ready for it, they really weren't that ready for it.
No.
Yeah, they weren't ready for the play.
That was BS. That was garbage by Tomlin. Because he's at the other end of the spectrum. He's ultra-conservative, right? And we're even watching last night a guy like Vic Fangio, who's kind of flipped. He's kind of changed his ways a little bit. Now, the issue with Denver is the efficiency and Teddy sucks and the actual play calling once they decide to go for it. But they're ultra aggressive. See, I don't think it's about surprise anymore. Because, you could, like I mentioned with the Tomlin stuff, he's not surprising anyone. You know what he's going to do from time to time. Imagine if Tomlin had a good kicker like Tucker on the other side. I mean, he's always had a crappy kicker. But yeah, I thought that was I didn't care for that from Tomlin. And so okay, you knew what you were gonna do, exactly like Paul Aspen just mentioned. What'd you do to stop it? Because if the tight end's not stumbling, it's ball game. So I don't know that I would be celebrating. I will say though, those studs on the Steelers defense look to be back after a couple of really bad performances. I mean, Watt had 3.5 sacks. Hayward had a sack. They looked fantastic.
And doesn't it seem like the Ravens' offense is broken? I mean, it's always been an issue for them, and now it's their offense and their defense. It's not
I have no trust. I don't care about their 8-4 record. I have no trust in that team. And actually, we'll break this game down more. There's a lot of teams near the top of the AFC I have zero trust in, including the one that played last night. Like, the Chiefs win, the Chiefs cover. I walked away from that game feeling worse about Kansas City, even though it was Andy Reid off the bye.
I'm already on the Browns, by the way, for week 14. I love Cleveland against the Ravens. I mean, the Ravens offense, you're right. Look at Lamar's numbers the last 3 weeks, last four
Something's
games,
broken.
Right? He missed one. It's bad. 64.4 rating. I mean, he's been bad now for the better part of a month. It's not good. I love the Browns coming up this week. And I'll say this, because you said the AFC's all weird. This could be the year where something wacky happens, where a 6 Colts. Or a 7 seed makes a run.
Colts.
Could be the year. Colts?
So we've been talking about the Colts the last couple
could
of weeks.
Could be the Colts.
They're that,
could be the Chargers.
And I think Collinsworth mentioned on the broadcast last night, I agree, like they're a team that's built to win on the road with that run game. It depends on the matchups. Another point about Baltimore, they failed to score 20 in 6 of their last 7 games. 6
Too
of
much.
Seven.
It's bad. The offense is bad. Joe O, Joe G, Aaron Hawks with BetQL Daily, presented as always by FanDuel Sports. We'll dive more into NFL Week 13 on the other side.